Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Before me are two former winners of Housewife of the Year. Patricia Connolly, welcome.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, Oliver. Thank
you're from Clane and County Kildare.
County Kildare, that's right.
What year did you win?
1986.
And Ellen Gowan is also here. You're the 84 winner.
Yes, Oliver.
You got the 40th anniversary.
Yes.
Housewives of the Year. And the film, it opens in selected cinemas tomorrow. Quite a few cinemas. A good mix around the country from the weekend. I really enjoyed this film. This is kind of like your life is on film. Are you all right? Are you dealing with this fame now? Okay, Patricia?
we're being treated like royalty at the moment.
Oh, lovely.
We are, yes, yeah.
You deserve it from what I've seen.
Well, you...
Now, it's a joyful thing, and I know you're both very positive people, but I want to start at the start because you tell your own story, don't you, in the show. Will I start with you, Patricia?
Whoever, yes. Whoever
you are. You are, you know, what age are you around this time when you decide to enter? Who decides to tell you, who advises you to join?
No, my daughter put me in the Woman's Way magazine.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about it, and I was a postwoman, as you know, and I was sorting the post one morning. And I got this letter and it said, you know, go see Gayborn in the Gresham Hotel. It said, oh, my birthdays nearly came together. My God. I said, what? So I said, what's it about? And she said, you know, well, you have to go for an interview to the Gresham and about the Housewife of the Year. And gosh, I couldn't wait for the Saturday to come. Meet Gayborn, my idol.
Yeah.
I went to the Gresham and met him. And then he wants to see me again. I said, here, I'm on to a winner here. So anyway, we went to the Gresham and he interviewed us and we had a wonderful night. A wonderful, wonderful
very
night.
Very memorable.
Very memorable.
That was only half of what was to come.
Pardon?
That was only half of what
that was only half was yeah, to come. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, in the film, you tell a story about you were a very happy housewife and you were very much at home. You didn't have to work.
No.
And they're the good days.
They were the good days. They were. I was very happily married to my husband, who I met when I was 18.
Yeah, typical
of the
time.
And we married when I was 21 and he was 24. And we had 5 children and a very happy life. Yeah, yeah. Very happy. And then Seamus played football for his own club and for the county at times. And he got severe arthritis. Mm-hmm. And his hips went and his knees went. And he just happened to have operations over one and the other. So I got the job then of delivering the post to try and make ends meet as it was then. So I was on a bicycle delivering the post.
You were suddenly working and you still have the 5 kids to mind.
Yes, and there was someone in secondary school, someone in primary, and Seamus at her home. So I got the job delivering the post because I knew I could go do that and be home for them in the evening.
Yeah.
And I cycled 13 miles every day with the post.
Parcels and the whole lot.
Everything hanging. You want to see me arriving. It was like a pound shop arriving, I was. But anyway, we did it and we got through it. And
you also had a car as well. This was the amazing thing that I saw in the film.
We had a car.
You put the bike into the boot of the car.
Yes, my children wouldn't tell you about it now, it was a car.
No, it wasn't.
Or they wouldn't come with me to deliver the post because they all used to fall off when we'd go around the corner.
It was a white Ford Escort.
Yes, a Ford.
Ellen, you would have seen it. It was a wreck of a thing.
Yes, yeah, it was a wreck, yeah. But I put the bicycle in the boot for going out the country if it was wet. But they were really, really happy times, yeah.
But it was extraordinary hard work. I mean, you're going around.
I tell you, it wasn't glamorous, Oliver. It was damn hard work, really was, you know. And you're out in all weathers, you know. So we kind of, you just took it each day as you went along, you know.
That's your story in the run-up to entering the competition. Ellen, you tell an amazing story that actually I was astonished. What age are you when you get the camera from your dad?
16.
16. And you had a great relationship with your father.
Oh, amazing. Nobody could understand it.
Best of friends.
Oh, yes. And I still miss him every day. I have a lovely photograph of him at home on my wall. And it's the right place.
Did he live a long time, by the way?
He didn't. He was dead in his 60s. And so was my mother.
Were you were still young?
Oh, no. No, no, no. I'm not that young now, but...
When they died is what I mean.
When they died.
In the 60s, but
they died in
their
60s and here am I at 80, I'm still kicking the bucket.
Yeah, you're both 80, I think you're quite happy
to
say.
Yes, I did last March. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
37 years since we won the competition.
Yeah.
And this year, gosh, we've been treated like royalty. I never dreamt that this would happen.
So is it a birthday present? You get the camera at 16, Ellen.
It was a little get well present. I had kind of grumbling appendix and I was in hospital. Right, okay. And he came give me his Ellie, my girl, a little present to get well.
Daddy's girl. Something, you go on a little trip, don't you, across
so
Yall Bay?
So we met three young fellas.
Yeah.
And we were all in the same choir, the church choir.
Oh, very good. Okay.
And they were our friends. Nothing to do with boyfriends or anything like that, but mm-hmm. we were just beautiful friends. And they went to the boys' school and we went to the girls' school. And one of them said, my dad's boat is there. Come on, hop in and we'll go for a row. So we rowed across to a little island. No, it was called, it doesn't matter what it was called, I can't remember.
But you're in Yall,
this is from Yall. This
and
is where I grew up.
Across to Waterford.
Yeah. And anyway, I went back there 2 years ago when we were doing the Waterford Way cycling. And the person that was driving, there's the ferry point, which was called.
Right.
And he said, oh man, it was a rough looking place.
Really?
Big, huge boulders that would trip you and knock you over. There was no place nice to sit down.
So the boys are in their shorts or whatever. They've got their shorts and t-shirts or their and you're in summer dresses.
No, they were just in their ordinary long trousers and stuff.
Oh, were they? Okay.
And we were in our dresses.
Oh, my God, right. But so you row the boat and you're taking your nice photographs.
Yes.
And you go to the chemist, as you do, to get them.
It was my first time using the camera, so anyway.
Oh, it was the first time? Okay.
Yeah, and I have great footage.
Yeah.
With all the pushing and the pulling and the flirting, and they weren't our boyfriends. Well, nobody had boyfriends or girlfriends at that stage. So anyway, I handed in my strip of film to the pharmacist. That's what you did in those days.
Yeah.
And then you go back a week later and you collect them. But in the meantime, there was no prints.
No sign of the photographs.
No sign of the photographs. But in the meantime, he had taken the law into his own hands, the pharmacist, and crossed over to the canon and handed him the bundle of my photographs and said, you better do something about this one. So he was a really, really nice canon Sheehan. And he was just a perfect priest and a beautiful gentleman. So obviously he did what this pharmacist put the gun to his head and said, go on, sort this one out. So he must have gone to my parents with the thing, showed them the photographs, and they said, look, they said, what do you recommend we do with her? So he said, put her down in the Waterford, Magdalena Laundries in Waterford.
For taking photographs of
kids? Yeah, and I mean, like, it could all have been avoided if they gave me one decent slap and threw the bloody book of photographs on the table and said, explain yourself. You know, but I never saw the photographs. I never saw them from that day until this.
You're talking about all these remarkable things that were just normal.
Yeah. And with really lovely, lovely boys. They were like the cream of the bunch.
But your parents, do they drive you to the the Magdalens?
Yes, my mother had a very strict face and I knew with her face that I had done something very, very wrong. I was crying. I was in the back seat. I was told, pack my bag. There was a suitcase thrown up in the bed. They said, pack your stuff. But in the meantime, I had packed my diary. That was the most precious thing to my soul. Mm-hmm. Like my granddaughter, when she had her diary, nobody looked into it. It was a sacred thing. You could be on the table.
What was it like when you got there?
So we got there and I didn't know where they were taking me. It was a very bleak, horrific, huge, austere looking building. And there was this nun came out, very nice nun, and greeted me. And then my parents left without saying goodbye.
Wow.
No goodbye. No idea. Just dropped me in.
This great relationship you're having with your dad, and then suddenly you're coldly left there.
Gone. And I was left there and I just continued crying and crying and crying until they filled all the pots in the kitchen. And it was a horrific experience. I can actually I have no memory of my food or I have no memory of where I slept. But all I know is I had a kind of a prison uniform on me and we marched through the grounds. I suppose the uniform would be in case you try to run away, that you'd be recognised as Magdalena.
Yes.
And we did a lot of praying. We said loads of masses. We didn't personally say them. We attended them. And total silence, no contact with the other Maggies.
So you can't find out what you're in for, which might be the term.
Nobody would know. Have known.
Wow. How long are you there?
I was definitely there for a whole summer.
Go away.
I missed one whole summer anyway. But
Is your relationship totally changed after that?
Well, when I eventually got home, all eyes were down, and they were all, you could see that they were really sorry for me and heartbroken that they missed me, you know.
Right.
But it was never spoken about. I never had
Never mentioned again?
No.
Just did your parents ever never apologise?
No. No. No, never mentioned.
Do you forgive them?
Well, you see, Oliver, the thing about if you are deliberately hurt and deliberately wronged, there is really no room for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course I've forgiven them, but strictly speaking, not really. Because it has stayed with me all my life.
And you still think the canon was a lovely man?
I do. He was. The gun was put to his head because he was his neighbour. The pharmacist was his neighbour and he probably kept checking. And you see, the thing about it is my father was in business in the town. So, well, you know, that would have been another thing. You couldn't be bringing any disgrace on the business people of the town.
Yeah. We were familiar with them. Unmarried, pregnant women being locked up in these places. But it's extraordinary the
nobody,
time,
there was
the
no hope of me becoming pregnant because, no. Oliver, I couldn't have been held down that long.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way. Oh. Because they weren't our boyfriends.
You're 16 at the time.
Yes.
You're 16 at the time. Patricia, another remarkable scene in the film, which will remind us of our recent history, is the churching of women who've just given birth. You remember this.
I do, Oliver, yes. Well, I had my first three children, 1966, 67 and 69. And when you had a baby back then, you couldn't go back to the church or had Holy Communion unless you had a thing called being church.
Right.
And being church was, the priest met you at the door, you had a candle, a lighted candle, and you walked in after him while he was praying. And that was to cleanse you from having a baby. The most beautiful thing in the world anyone can have. And here you were having to be, all women of my age at that time, that was the norm.
4 to 6 weeks, yeah.
Yes,
after you came home.
And you know, it's nowadays people like would just, you'd wonder like what that was all about.
Yeah, it
but
only ends in the late 60s.
That's right,
with the
yes,
Second
yeah.
Vatican
when
Council.
I had my next two children, I could get them baptised at home. Or, you know, I didn't have to go to the church for it. But mm-hmm. that was the norm back then, yeah.
Ellen, we know that story. You're 16. You get married, then you become a housewife, and you enter the competition. How do you come to be part of it?
First, for a very practical reason, Oliver, I needed a cooker.
Right. And you enter the regionals.
I had a cooker, and there was nothing wrong with my gas cooker, but the handle was loose in the oven because when you were opening the oven door, you have to give it a good hush, psh, pull, and it used to get loose and come off of my hand, and my footprint was already on the door from kicking it, gently kicking, saying, mm-hmm. Oh, that bloody cooker. So my daughter comes along and she said, look here, Mum, she said, the RTE guide, if you enter this competition, there's a chance of you winning a cooker.
Yeah.
So I said, would you fill in the entry form, please, and send it off for me? She did.
So you have, you brought your sash with you today. You're a regional winner.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and you believe Gay Byrne wanted you to win the whole thing outright?
Well, see, the thing about it is I have four absolutely stunning children, and my youngest one, she was very interested in ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the interview Gay gave me, but it would have been the worst choice I could have chosen. I wanted him to talk about fishing industry. I come from Castletown Bear.
That makes sense, yeah.
But he talked about ballet, and I was going through a hole in the floor,
dear.
You see.
Yeah.
But there was a beautiful shot of my ballerina daughter, and she's delighted they were talking about her. She was 10 or 11 or something.
Oh my God. But so winning the regionals, you don't get a cooker. You had to go all the way to...
Oh, I got my cooker.
Oh, you did. You get a cooker for winning that.
I had to go do any more. I cooked a meal, of course.
Yeah.
And the chef voted my food in Cork, and I was making wine at the time, and my daughter, Dervla, is a beautiful artist. And she made a lovely collar for the bottle and a lovely label for the wine bottle. And I had it open at a glass. And the chef judged my food. And it was fish, of course.
Yeah.
And he said, he took a sip of the wine. And when he judged me, he said, Ellen, do you mind if I keep the wine?
And you let him.
I did, of course.
It was gooseberry wine.
That was gooseberry wine. That was some compliment, I thought.
It was?
Yeah. So I stopped making the wine then.
I was going to say, do you have...
Like, I'm very practical. I learn all my skills until I achieved the pinnacle of my achievement.
So, I mean, you were brilliant. You were both obviously brilliant at this.
Yeah, we were. I wasn't no cordon bleu cook, but I did that day. I cooked lamb, breast of lamb, in a white wine sauce, and I did bananas for dessert. And I got it in a book. Creole bananas they were called. You put bananas under the grill and some almond on them. And Gay thought these were brilliant, so will I give you the recipe? Okay, no problem, Gay. Okay. I'll even go and cook them for you if you like.
Lamb and white wine sauce. Okay,
yes.
We have a clip here from the film, and it's to do with the tasting menus. We'll have a listen to this because the late, great Derek Davis comes in at the end of it.
Today's dish is called Pork Tropicana, and it certainly has a tropical feel about it. Mary went for baked stuffed salmon steaks with a garnish of mussels and a lovely tangy lemon and onion sauce.
Gina served pears O'Hare and decorated with cherries. A simple and once traditional meal from Angela, who served a rabbit casserole.
It's Mary's beef. I just have a forkful of that, plenty in it, and a real man-sized meat. Again, to my taste, the broccoli would be a wee bit soft. I like it a wee bit crisper than that. Personal taste.
Like I said, there's a lot of fun in this film.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, yes. It was just mad. That's Derek Davis talking about a mouthful of beef, about how the broccoli wasn't quite
it's a wonderful, it's a wonderful film, Oliver. Yes, it is. And for the researcher, for the producer, and anyone who has been looking after us since this came out, since last April, we've gone to four premieres.
You've gone to the premiere four,
we've gone
four
to
of
four
them.
Premieres. Okay, we taught on the red carpet last week.
Lovely.
And the premieres were brilliant. And I would say to anyone that wants to go to a film, this is the one to see.
Agree with you.
It's a wonderful documentary, as well as there's good fun, there's stories, and I'd say very entertaining. It really is.
It leaves the kind of question open, and there's a message, a person sent us in a text message, said, "Good morning. Some women choose to stay at home to rear their children. It wasn't all bad in the past." How do you feel about that, Ellen?
Well, when you have perfect children, everything is good.
Yeah. And if you want to do it, obviously you have the choice.
Yeah, which is all excitement.
As a housewife, I mean, if you have the choice to do it, that's absolutely fine, but you had other plans.
I did loads of things. If I want to be remembered for anything, Anne Barry, I want to be remembered as a tree woman.
The tree woman?
Yes, I opened a nursery and there's a bit of me in every single garden in Barra and every single house on the islands.
Do you know what? That's a gorgeous legacy.
Yeah. I had a nursery in the garden centre and my children were put to work. They picked all the stones. They had to pick two fish boxes of stones before they got their lunch in the evening. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we'd never have...
And you still run the B&B?
That was a very interesting period of my life. No, I parted company with that in 2018.
Oh, did you? Okay.
But I had very good...
My God, you got great reviews online. They're still up online. I was looking at them. People said she filled the house with cut flowers, the whole lot, because you were obviously...
100 best places to stay in Ireland I was on for years.
Amazing. But sure, there has to be a time to retire, and if you're 80 years of age now.
Well, it was the most difficult thing to do. I kept saying, how do you retire? Like, how do you stop? Like, when you're busy, you can't stop.
Yeah.
We didn't have to go out to work. I mean, it was a choice. But if sickness or something comes into a family and you can see a way of dealing with it, it wasn't a very glamorous job. I loved my home. I loved my children. But we needed to get an extra money. And, you know, some people might think, housewife of the year, what is a housewife of the year? The housewives of the year are the present population who are struggling, who are with two jobs, who are...
Yeah.
We had a choice, we did it. And you could say, go home, and you had put your children to school, you were able to do those things. But if sickness comes into a family, you deal with it as best you can. And that's what we did. And then roll on then to 2004, my beautiful husband got prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And he had got his radium, and we were only 3 weeks finished his treatment when I got colon cancer. And I had chemotherapy. So to say that, you know, we've seen the good, the bad and the ugly, we're here to talk about it. Unfortunately, I lost him 5 years ago, and my beautiful daughter, who was only 51, was diagnosed with MS when she was only 29, and we parted with her on the 25th of October, 3 years ago.
She died 3 years ago.
And she left two beautiful daughters and a husband who were absolutely brilliant to her.
And my family, the way they
rallied around, the way they, you know, and they're so good, like, you know, not making a poor mouth or anything, but that's how
you're,
it was.
You're doing the opposite. Yeah, I mean, you're a remarkable woman.
I'm not a bit.
You do know that. And I didn't even mention the hundreds of turkeys you are rearing while a post woman would
talk about the turkeys.
Ellen is here.
Oh, my God, Gay Brian wrote a piece in the Sunday World.
But you're both really positive, aren't you, despite all of the things?
We got turkeys thinking we'd make a few bob for Christmas, and we had a big shed down the back. And, oh, my God, we got this 100 turkeys or whatever anyway, and... you had to stay up at night with them and turn them over and, oh, God.
Will you show me your sash before you go, both of you? Because I know you brought them in after and you've treasured and held these for years.
I hope you want to get a thrill out of these.
I put photographs up on Instagram now as soon as you're there. Oh, my God, they're actually very good quality, well-made.
Well, they had it for 40 euros.
The Caller Cozen Gas and Housewife of the Year Southern Regional winner, who is our friend Ellen Gowan of Castletown Bear. And lovely Patricia. Just, there's no way of doing this without slipping into Gabriel. The Caller Cozen Gas Housewife of the Year, regional winner. Well done, Patricia Connolly. You're proud of your time out there, aren't you? Despite knowing that this...
Pardon?
You're proud of your time at the House of the Year.
Of course,
but you also acknowledge that it was a cold house for women in the country, wasn't it?
Well, and people would kind of frown and say, but that was the norm. That was the life back then. You know, we kind of did those things, you know, but it didn't mean that we were unhappy or we were and anything else. We were very, very happy and contented.
Very good.
And we raised 5 wonderful children, thank God, and we've lovely 13 grandchildren, 2 great-grandchildren, and all very good to me, and all the neighbours and all who know me, thanks to them.
There are other people saying, say hi to Ellen, please, from your almost son-in-law, Andrew.
I still miss you, Andrew.
Oh, my God. Listening to your programme, will you give a shout out to my mother, Mary Fitzgerald of Limerick? She is 89, was Housewife of the Year in 1982. That was the first televised one. So there's loads of stories. My Auntie Kay from Drumcollaher was the first Housewife of the Year. A wonderful woman, greatly missed to this day. That's from Gabrielle in Dundalk. So that must have been in the 60s, I presume. Another person says, my sister was in the last final in 1995. She was runner-up, but won a Caller Gas Cooker. A great experience for us all. The final was in the National Concert Hall. Her kids, parents, granny, nieces, nephews and everyone had a ball supporting her.
Yes, that's right. That's where we were. The concert hall, that's where we were.
You
on
got
television,
that final as well. Yeah. Were you also in the concert hall? Or it was in the Olympia as well a couple of times, and that's where the final
I was
based.
Burlington.
You were in the Burlington.
Yes, in the concert hall.
Listen, thank you both for coming in to us.
Oliver, thank you very much.
I want to reiterate again to people, The Housewife of the Year is the name of the documentary film, which opens tomorrow. It's in cinemas around the country, selected cinemas, but if you look up, it's in Galway there. I can see the Gate Cinema in Cork. It's in the Movies At. That's the kind of the Irish franchise there. Dundrum, Dungarvan, Gorey. The Omniplexes as well in Limerick and Mahon Point, Rathmines, Salt Hill in Galway, Tralee, the Palace Cinema there in Galway. It's around the place, Castlebar even. So it's getting a good airing. And wonderful memories.
Indeed, that isn't on in Bantry for all my Bear people.
You'll find a way. Sure, there's festivals around the place. Ellen and Patricia, Housewives of the Year and 80-year-old Octogenarians of the Year.
Yes.
Good luck.
You had to get that dig in, didn't you?
That's a celebration. That's not
it's uncanny. And actually, when we were at the last one in Dublin, was last week at the premiere. And on that day, I was told to bring my photographs. So while I was going through them, I got one lovely one of Gay and Kathleen and me in the middle.
Ah, lovely.
And then on that day in Dublin, we were after being told that Kathleen had passed away. So,
she was
90
day.
Years of age. Yeah, they were lovely people. Yeah. And
thank God you got
them.
The photographs developed.
Yes.
We could sell them.
Says Ellen, yes. Thanks a million, all right.